Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Today, another event day in the NFL as it's a schedule release day. Various networks will have their schedule release shows, and it'll get higher ratings than NHL and NBA playoff games. Just the way it is.
Do you know the top 100?
Football's king.
Top 100 sporting events? How many in the top 100 viewed sporting events, the ratings-wise? How many Major League Baseball games got into the top 100 last year, 2020? Remember, they started off, they were the only ones playing, right?
Yeah, I'd say a couple.
Like two, three?
Yeah, out of the top 100.
Zero.
Zero? Okay.
Zero. NFL Thursday night games with no meaning outrate NBA, NBA championship.
Yeah.
Games.
Yeah.
It's not close.
The draft coverage. Thursday night, opening night of the draft.
Will beat any NBA playoff game this year.
Double, triple NBA playoff ratings, 8 times higher than Stanley Cup games. I mean, it's just
guys.
Just the way it is.
Guys, 50% of them will fail. When they announce them, the people at the draft that are fans of the team have never heard of them, and yet they give them a standing ovation. They haven't dropped a squirt of piss in the bucket, and that will outrate any NBA playoff game. It is incredible, man.
So we are getting info on week one of the season. The Broncos will open up Sunday, September 12th at the New York Football Giants, a 2:25 game. That game will be on Fox. Now, I know you're curious as to where you could possibly be. I have the full slate of week one Fox games.
Do you know?
Yes.
Ooh, this is a fun game.
Okay.
All right.
So you got Broncos, Giants.
Ooh, okay.
You have Packers, Saints.
Yes.
So, obviously, the idea is Packers, Aaron Rodgers against the Saints. Maybe that's the late afternoon marquee game.
Uh-huh.
Unless Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Broncos, in which you can seamlessly make that Broncos-Giants game the number one game in that afternoon window on Fox.
Okay.
So, Seahawks at Colts?
Yes.
You'd like that one.
That would be one.
Eagles at Falcons?
New coach, Arthur Smith, with the Falcons. New coach. Play rock, scissors, paper with Nick Sirianni. As soon as we meet, I'm throwing it out there,
you'd
too.
You'd be a Richard Nine, and you
let's
just
go.
Start, yep,
let's go.
I've been practicing.
I just need to see what you're made of.
I've been working at it.
I need to see what you're made of.
Yeah, never mind my competitive fire, coach.
Yeah,
what's yours?
I'm checking your competitive fire.
49ers at Lions.
See, I actually like that game.
Well, you love hanging out with Kyle, and then you get to see the Dan Campbell eating kneecaps game.
Yeah, Dan Campbell eating some kneecaps.
Yeah.
Anthony Lynn is there as the coordinator. Dan Campbell, Dan Campbell's a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Anthony Lynn, obviously a buddy of mine. Kyle Shanahan's a buddy of mine. So there's a lot of familiarity there. Both offenses I know like the back of my hand. So, yeah, that would be a great game.
Then you get Vikings at Bengals.
Yeah,
you won't get that one. So for a man of your stature,
yes,
a crew of your stature, I'm predicting that.
Well, you have to understand.
It depends on where Aaron Rodgers is. Wherever Aaron Rodgers is, that'll be an Aikman Buck game.
Correct.
All right. So Broncos at Giants or Packers at Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could easily see you get the game that
The next game after that. No, actually, no. Because wherever Aaron Rodgers is not at, that I don't know how attractive that game is. I could see you getting Seahawks-Colts.
Yeah, I could. Well, you have to understand that they hired Greg Olsen, too, who just retired. So Greg Olsen just finished with the Seahawks.
Oh.
So he may get that. I may get, you know, whoever, either Broncos, Giants, or the New Orleans, Green Bay, depending on where Aaron Rodgers is.
You get Broncos, Giants. That'd be fun.
Be great.
First week of the season?
Right.
There you go. Okay. All right.
Well, who knows, though? I mean, you know, I know they're going to give, I know they're going to move, yeah, Greg Olsen will get the lion's share of the number two game.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, okay, so here are the Bronco opponents. Yeah. We know they got the Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, home and away. But home, you got Ravens, Bengals, Eagles, WFT, Jets, Lions. Away, Steelers, Browns, Giants, Cowboys, and Tim Tebow and the Jaguars. Sorry, Trevor Lawrence, you've been surpassed.
Yeah, you've been demoted. Usurped.
So, okay, let me throw out the question that you have had to combat all offseason. This is a schedule that, on paper, isn't too daunting. Simple enough that if you get Aaron Rodgers, this is automatically a 11-win team. Remember, 17 games. This automatically a 10-11 win team.
With Aaron Rodgers?
With Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, because Aaron Rodgers is one of the three or four quarterbacks that covers up the warts that you have.
Okay. And if you go with Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke, winner. Difference is what? Three wins, four wins, five wins, six wins?
Yeah, three or four wins.
Three or four.
Yeah.
So the difference between Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater and Aaron Rodgers is basically, instead of going 11-6, you go 7-10?
Yeah, that sounds fair to me.
Okay.
And remember that the quarterback like Aaron Rodgers will cover up some of the deficiencies you have. Where the other quarterbacks that you're talking about, Bridgewater, Locke, whoever else it could be, expose
and
weaknesses.
Let me see if I get this clear, too. So, Rodgers is one of two or three, four quarterbacks in the NFL that covers up warts. So, if you're looking at a difference of four wins with Rodgers, then I would assume most other quarterbacks, even quarterbacks that are considered, you know, good quarterbacks,
right,
you only see what? Two-win difference?
Yeah, one or two.
One or two.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because those guys require better rosters around them.
Right. So you take a good quarterback. I don't know, Baker Mayfield type.
Yeah, you're going to get one win.
One, two wins at the most.
Tops.
Okay. Coming up, as we've taken a look at Teddy Bridgewater, Carolina, Drew Locke, Bronco games as part of our fan film room, the term bleep step has popped up in our conversations. What does an bleep step mean? Mark will explain. Millennial Ben is looking at me very curious. I don't really know the answer. Mark's going to explain it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Yeah. Sometimes you say things during the commercial breaks.
Please stop.
No. This one's okay, Benny. This one's okay. Unlike most of the other things Mark says during breaks that are not fit for family ears.
Well, wait a minute. Now, my wife may be driving around and she thinks that I... Okay, she doesn't.
No, she knows.
She knows.
She knows.
I'm an idiot.
So, So we were talking about how your schedule, you'll probably get your schedule. We're starting to see some of these games, these Fox games coming out.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to
figure it out.
Think about who you might be getting, and you start thinking about, you know, you got to start getting ready for TV shape.
Yeah.
Which means you got to drop some weight.
I do, because my suits right now are not, they will not be happy. They are not going to be happy.
What was the line you said about your tie?
Oh, because you said, you know, my shirts are too tight.
Oh,
you've had some really tight shirts. Not last year. Last year I literally sat between 48 and 52. 248 and 252 all season long. 3 weeks after the season was over, I was 265. So I said I got to drop, you know, 15, 20 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned how tight some of my suits were a couple of years, not last year, but a couple of years ago.
Right.
And I was like, man, I put on that tie. It looked like my neck was going to eat my face. It's just like, I'm so freaking hungry. Blah, 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 blah. I got to avoid that.
Yes, we don't want your neck attacking your face.
No, and that's where, like, when I gain weight, I gain it in my jowls, like my cheeks and jowls and neck.
Yeah.
And my boobs.
Really?
Oh, my boobs get huge.
Your jubilees get
big? Oh, my gosh. Those things are tremendous.
Wait a minute. You're saying your man boobs are tremendous? You have tremendous man boobs.
Oh, yeah. Especially as I get heavy, they just get very, very supple. Very large, supple chichis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Please stop.
So you, I need to.
You are a national treasure.
I am currently, as we speak, I have started another diet.
Another one?
Yeah,
huh?
I've started.
This one you're serious about.
Yeah, I think since February I started four. Yep. I think this is my fifth one.
Yep.
But I am, you can count on me. This time I'm serious.
All right, hunker down. So as we've been looking at the fan film room games this week, taking a look at Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke games against common opponents, you've noticed something. And you are much more expert about it, but I made the comment to you, it's like, you know, you watch the Broncos offense and you watch the Carolina offense. Different coordinators. You got Pat Shurmur, whose name is Mud for most of Broncos country. But you got Joe Brady, who was the offensive coordinator of the Panthers last year. This was the guy who was the whiz kid. I mean, he was the Sean McVay of college football a couple of years ago with Joe Burrow.
Uh-huh.
Parlayed that success into getting a job as the OC with the Panthers. And yet, the Pat Shurmur offense and the Joe Brady Joe Burrow offense in Carolina, they look similar to me. Why?
I think it's a fair assessment. I think if you look at some of the route combinations, some formationally, they look the same. There are a lot of, you know, doubles, 2x2 formations where you have a tight end, a Z receiver on one side, and an F and an X on the other side. So it's an 11 personnel grouping, right? Or you see a 3x1 formation out of the same personnel grouping. You see, you see a bunch formation where you have a tight end, you have an F and you have a Z on the strong side, and you have a single receiver on the backside. Or you see a cluster, which you have three wide receivers. You have your F, your X, and your Z on one side, and your tight end opposite them solo on the other side. But you see a lot of the exact same type of formations, but the majority of their passing formations are all out of 11 personnel. Very rarely do they get into 21 or into 12. They do occasionally. They'll get into some type of solo formation where they have a tight end on each end of the football. But for the most part, 80, 85% is all out of three wide stuff, right? That's what they want to do. You'll see a few more deep shots by Denver's offense than you will Carolina's offense. A few more crossing route combinations, you know, trying to get rubs and picks in Carolina's than you do in Denver's. But the bottom line, a lot of the basics are the same. A lot of the static formations and personnel groupings are the same. The one thing that just
continues to get stuck in my craw as I'm watching film. And you know me, I'm working ahead to some degree because I'm using this as an exercise for myself. To continue. I mean, I spend a couple hours a day anyhow looking at football stuff. It's just what I do. And so this has been a great exercise in how do I want to go about game planning? Actually talked to Marty Morningwig. Remember Marty Morningwig, former head coach, offensive coordinator yesterday. So just kind of picking the brain of a guy who's done it for a very long time at a very high level in college and in the pros. So anyhow, long story short, I called it something that I won't call it on air in the break.
But well, I teased it. It's the oh bleep step.
Yeah, the oh shoot step.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch both of these teams, whether it's, you know, whether it's Waggle, whether it's boot keep, I think Waggle, I don't really know. We used to run Waggle. I don't really know. Like, I would just say when I think of Waggle, I think of the quarterback not turning his back to the defense, but still having a boot action, right? I think of boot as obviously faking that handoff, turning your back to the defense, flipping back out, and coming over to that strong side, whichever way you're rolling out, and having some type of flood combination. So I'm watching both offenses, and I never see an oblique step, meaning that you don't run it well enough and you haven't established an identity for anybody to really ever bite, to take that second step, that next step, to where all of a sudden they're like, ah, shoot, I just crossed over, and here they go out the backside. So what you are able to do is you take one step, small step, and you're able to open your hips and run and stay on top leverage from a leverage standpoint. You never get behind or in trail. You're always at a 45-degree angle leverage. You may be inside shoulder, but a 45-degree angle where you can cut off the junction point and take a play that should get you into second down and two, and it's second down and seven plus. And so there's no oblique step by anything they do in play action because you're not really reading it. As a defense, you've never been threatened on the 19 handoff boot keep right. So guess what? Why am I playing it? I'll play from high to low. I won't take the extra step. There's nothing that has got me. There's nothing that's got my heart palpitating on defense where I'm like, oh my God, I got to get there. Oh my God, I got to constrict. Oh my God, there's none of that. So you're always in position on all the boot stuff, all the action stuff, all the, I always talk about the difference between play action and run action. All the run action stuff, you never outflank people. Either offense. And it's been one consistent that I've looked at. I'm like, the good teams that know what they're doing running the ball always, always create explosives in the run action passing game because they threaten you. Neither of these teams threaten you. Nobody's scared. Nobody's nervous. So then you got to rely on my guy has got to be better than your guy. My Z's got to be better than your cover corner. My X has got to be better than your cover. My slot receiver's got to be better than your slot defender.
All that great football talk, and what are people responding to on the RamosLot.com text line? Your man boobs. This one.
They're glorious.
Man boobs are 100% whole milk. Texter says, my man boobs legitimately make my wife jealous. You guys owe your listeners breakfast. Supple for crying out loud.
Hey, looking's for free. Touching's
for lost. Oh, man. Four down territory coming up next. Why is Urban Meyer giving Tim Tebow a chance? You'll hear it next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is four down territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
I'm excited to be you know, being in a room with those guys, man, you know, Drew's a guy, man, who I think he has unbelievable talent. He'll be able to do some great things in this league, and I'm the type that I'm able to be in the room with him, compete, push him, push the room, and, you know, push the team.
Teddy Bridgewater on with Nick and Cecil on the Fan last night, talking about competing with, working with, getting the most out of Drew Locke. You've had a chance to visit with Teddy Bridgewater, working a Panthers game.
Sure.
What stands out? What kind of personality is he? What kind of person is he? What kind of football leader is he? How does he do it?
He's quiet, fairly unassuming. He leads through his example, through his work ethic, through his ability to build relationships, and the fact that what he has been able to overcome, everybody respects. And the guy probably shouldn't be playing in the National Football League with the knee injury that he had. And it took him years to come back. And he has done it. He's done it with fearlessness. And guys just have he just has people that naturally gravitate toward him. He's a real, you know, he's a real communicator. And just kind of a quiet type leader.
Not a big rah-rah guy.
Not a big rah-rah guy, just does his job, and like I said, has overcome enough to where people are like, wow, guy is, he's special.
Next on Four Down Territory.
Second down.
This offensive line is not an issue.
No, it's not. And it is time that we move past that point of talking about that group and move on to something else. And I still feel as though it is time to give that group a little credit for what they were able to accomplish. To know that Drew Locke wasn't sacked that often.
Well, there is Nick and Cecil talking about the offensive line, which that was before Juwan James tore his Achilles and is out for the, at least the majority of the year. So the Broncos scrambling to bring in a free agent late in the game. They've signed offensive tackle Ryan Pope, who was with the Packers last year but did not appear in a game. Know anything about this guy?
Nope. They don't.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
You know nothing about him. A guy who voraciously studies film like you do is predisposed to looking at offensive linemen. You know nothing about this guy.
I don't know where he's from. Pope. The Pope. Can he give us a papal blessing? Bless our offense?
Yeah, he's from San Diego State.
Yeah.
He's only 24.
He didn't play last year.
6'7", 315. Got 34 and a quarter inch arms. Long enough?
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. He's probably great. He's got long arms. Hey, 33 is not good. You won't ever play in the end. But if you got 34?
Right.
33 and a half? 34 and a half?
Woo. At least, you know what? I like the fact that he's a young guy. And that there's some potential there. There's something to work with.
By the way, the film room, though, I've got to respectfully disagree with both.
Like Nick and Cecil?
Yeah. I mean, you look at stats, and in that Atlanta game that you watched yesterday, there was one sack in that game. Drew Locke was under duress the majority of that game. Was he not?
Yes.
With an Atlanta team that... Yeah, that literally isn't worth a score to piss on defense.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
I've been thinking about it a lot, sure.
So the NFL schedule is going to be released in its totality tonight, but already some dribs and drabs are coming out. We know the week one schedule. The Broncos will open up Sunday, September 12th at the New York Football Giants, a 2:25 game, a chance for Vic Fangio to get off the September schneid. He's 0-7 in September. He is not a September darling.
No. Can we get some September darling music, Ben? Just for the heck of it, because we haven't heard.
Compare that with Vance Joseph, who was 5-2 in September.
Yes.
In his 2 years.
We have become the new September darlings, ladies and gentlemen. Man. The halcyon days of Vance Joseph. Winning games in September. Remember it like it was...
Remember
I do.
When it first died, September.
Yeah.
I do. We were winning those games in September. And Joseph was saying, you're tall.
Nikki Javala, our old friend, is now covering the Washington football team for The Athletic. And she says the Broncos will be hosting Washington on Halloween.
Ooh. So, give me a chance to dress up and head to the stadium.
We would appear that we know two of the dates for opponents.
I got to get that game, don't I? Washington at Denver?
You want that one.
I mean, I just think I got to get it.
Well, will it be a Fox game?
I have no idea.
Not That's sure.
Good. That's a good point. May
Next
not be a Fox game.
In four down territory.
Fourth down.
You know, this guy's ball skills, he's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand now. This guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
Urban Meyer talking with Chris Collinsworth on Collinsworth's podcast about Tim Tebow. Says he's in incredible shape. 34-year-old Tebow. Think this is Urban Meyer just doing a solid for Tim Tebow? Or do you think Urban Meyer legitimately sees a football role for Timmy?
I think it's Urban Meyer doing a solid for Tim Tebow with the hopes that, who knows, he can produce.
Now, I know you are steadfast in your belief that do not make any comparisons between Tim Tebow and Taysom Hill.
Correct.
But you know that this is a copycat league.
Correct.
And with the success that Sean Payton and the Saints have had with Taysom Hill, can you understand why coaches may look around and say, hey,
sure,
maybe I could use this guy in that kind of a role. Maybe not as good as Taysom Hill, but hey.
Hey, there's
another thing that a defensive coordinator has to prepare for.
And if you have to prepare for, like, there's no question you could use him in that role as a wildcat quarterback and run, you know, run the quarterback counter and all those kind of things that the Saints run. He can do that. I'm saying don't compare the two athletes. He can't line up as a wide receiver, he's just not going to have the same skill set. By the way, Taysom Hill's an absolute maniac on special teams. Is Tim Tebow going to be a maniac on special teams covering kickoffs? I don't know.
If he's a third string tight end, he better be.
He's going to have to be, but we're going to see exactly what that becomes. So I'm not saying that he can't do any of that. There can be pieces of that, but, you know, I mean, from an athletic standpoint, you're talking about Taysom Hill running 4.48 and being 230 and being a freak show athlete. I think Tim Tebow ran like 4.75 coming out. Now he's 32, 33. What's 34. He run? Three. You think he still runs a 4.75? 4.85? 4.9? I don't know. We'll see.
We shall see. By the way, Shannon Sharp had some bombs that he dropped about Tebow. We'll get some of those coming up in the next hour. Troy Rank will join us coming up next. Monday was Motley Crue. Today it's The Cure. You mean only one thing? Troy Rank's getting ready to join us, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Good morning, Troy. Hello, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good, Troy. This is a little shout-out, The Cure, for you, buddy.
I love it. I love The Cure.
92. Robert Smith is here. That doesn't get any better than that. How you doing, buddy? And schedule release. What do you know?
Well, so far, the Broncos will open at the New York Giants on September 12th. And October 31st, they host Washington. I would love to see you on that game. That's a Fox game, Mark. But that's all we know so far. The opener at the Giants is a fair matchup for the Broncos. It'll probably be an even game, or they might even be favored. But if they're going to get to the playoffs, at some point under Coach Fangio, they have to win a September game. They're 0-7 in September under Coach Fangio. So That's a fair place to start. They don't typically play great back east, but the Giants are a team that, you know, on paper last year were similar to the Broncos. So they opened there. They are not playing in London. Those games have been announced. The Broncos were scheduled last year to play the Falcons in London. That obviously did not happen. This year, the Broncos are not on the London docket, and they're not playing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. There was some thought they might, but the Raiders are playing the Cowboys. So far, I know Giants in the opener, and they play Washington, host Washington on Halloween on October 31st.
Back to those slow starts. Even Vance Joseph, I think, was 5-2 in September in his 2 years. Is there anything that you can point to as an explanation as to why 0-7 in September under Vic Fangio?
Yeah, I mean, Vic Fangio had grappled with the idea of how much contact to do in practice and leading up to games. They got spooked by injuries last year, so the tackling was awful across the board last year in the NFL, so I'm not going to say it was a Broncos issue, but, you know, that seemed to be a part of the problem, trying to figure out the balance of how to get prepared while avoiding injuries. Some of it was schedule, you know, but it was just losing home games in September is really the issue. You're going to lose on the road in September at Pittsburgh like they did. I mean, you're going to lose those types of games at Oakland in a crazy environment. Those are games I understand, but when you lose at home to Jacksonville, to the Bears, and to the Titans, those are games you can't lose if you fashion yourself as a playoff team. So why? I mean, they need to find a balance of being a little, you know, more physical early in the season, especially if they're going to win with defense, while trying to protect themselves from injury, which obviously undermined them a year ago.
Here's one of the things that I would ask. I guess I would ask if, you know, I was talking to Vic or I was talking to Pat Shurmur over there. If you're going to win on defense, then you need to establish yourself as a strong candidate to have a identity in the running game. It can't be, hey, I hired Pat Shurmur to throw it deep. Like, if you're going to play that style of football, we win on defense, we physically dominate you, you have to have a complementary style on the offensive side of the ball. Are they prepared to do that, or are we still living this pipe dream like we're going to chuck it deep and become this big-time, over-the-top, explosive, you know, baloney team? Because that's baloney.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing they did at times last year was run the football well. It became their identity during some wins, you know, against the Dolphins specifically. I mean, they're at the Patriots where they won an ugly game without a touchdown. Phillip Lindsay ran the heck out of the ball. Pat Shurmur has shown he'll use a bell cow back, and they will run the football. It's just when they passed and passed deep, they ran into turnover issues. They led the league in turnovers, and their starting quarterback, Drew Lock, was tied for the league in interceptions. So you can't win with defense if you're giving the ball away. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. You're not going to win that way. Their defense can keep you in a game. But, Mark, they want to be physical. They've upgraded the offensive line. They feel like, you know, the right tackle issue. They may end up signing a right tackle today with Dennis Kelly here, Bobby Massey, a couple other guys. They'll likely try to sign a veteran right tackle today. But, yeah, with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, they feel like they can be physical. And Javonte Williams is that exact type of back. I mean, he's a physical back. We'll see how it translates to the NFL, but he does not avoid contact. He runs with evil intentions. I just don't like the idea of trying to win with defense in the modern NFL. I talked to T.J. Ward about this at length yesterday on my podcast, and he just laughed. He's like, it's not 2015. It's 7-on-7. It's NBA basketball. You can't win by playing defense. The rules are against you. So that's why I just don't like that strategy, because if you can't score 25 points a game, you're not a playoff team in the NFL.
Tell us about this young tackle that they brought in, Ryan Pope.
His practice squad guy, he is not precluding them from adding another veteran like a Dennis Kelly or a Bobby Massey, or if Leno became available. He's not preventing that. He's just the guy to protect them with depth. Right now, their one swing tackle is Calvin Anderson. They need to add, they're going to add probably two. So Pope and another guy like that, a camp body, if you will, that will, you know, hopefully have a chance to make the roster. And then they're still going to add, again, a veteran. That's the idea, unless something just completely unravels. The idea would be a veteran and Calvin Anderson competing for the job. Maybe the veteran's the clear starter, and then they're bringing in some camp bodies at tackle to protect themselves.
All right, Troy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. By the way, do you watch any of the Rockies game yesterday? They got beat by a team that staffed it,
and was batting, I think the eighth spot in the lineup, was a different pitcher every inning. Got out, hit 10-3. How much trouble are we in right now?
Yeah, I mean, again, if they can't beat teams at home, they're in huge trouble. Right now, they're on pace to win 56 games and overall in 10 road games. So, yeah, they're in trouble. I mean, if they can't beat bad pitching at home, there's no way they avoid 100 losses, because that's the key. It always has been for Colorado, is you can still beat 3, 4, 5 starters at home to avoid 100 losses. And right now, they stop hitting. Whew, it's going to get ugly. They have a chance today because I think 5 of the 12 position players for the Padres are out for COVID reasons. So, I mean, I hate that, but you would think they'd have a chance to win today.
All right. We shall see. Thank you, Troy.
See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. We got question mark coming up in just a couple of minutes. Nuggets kicked off their final 4-game road trip to finish off the regular season. And this team just continues to show. I love the mental toughness of this team. You know, they blow a 21-point lead. They let Charlotte get back. You know, Charlotte, by the way, is you know, battling for the playoffs. So it wasn't like they're playing out the string. And the Nuggets just calmly regrouped and end up going on to win the game 117-112. And Michael Porter Jr., another fast start, another big first quarter. He and Jokic both with 30. The most encouraging thing was Aaron Gordon, who has really been in a scoring slump since becoming a Nugget. They need more from him. I know he brings a lot in terms of defense, but they still need him to be at least a reliable double-digit scorer. I'm not saying he has to average 17, 18 per game, but the guy's got to be averaging about 13, 14 points per game. He gave him 17 last night.
Yeah, they need that. They need that third guy, that third reliable guy. And you mentioned it, the defense, some of the energy, some of the things that don't necessarily always go on the stat line. Like those things you look for when you're watching film or you're watching games. Like who brings some intensity? Who brings some energy? Who is what I always call the actuator of the team? You know, the guy that actually kind of sets the tone. Like, for years in New England, you always think Tom Brady and all that. It was really Julian Edelman. Like, after every catch, man, he's up in somebody's face. He's in, like, he's that guy that just constantly brings energy to a ball club. And so if Aaron Gordon can bring that, even when he's not scoring, that's a valuable asset. And they definitely need that with the way that Porter Jr. is playing right now and the way that Jokic is playing, and George Karl, we had him on yesterday, just talking about how the Joker has taken that leadership role seriously and how he has performed, especially in fourth quarters. It's big.
Look, before the Jamal Murray injury, I thought this was a team that absolutely could go to the NBA Finals. I think it'll be too much to expect that, losing a guy like Murray, but This team is going to be incredibly hard out. No team in the Western Conference wants to play this team, because they are a mentally tough, good chemistry, and they'll have the MVP basketball team that will be a hard out. I mean, I don't think they make it to the NBA Finals. I don't think they make it to the Conference Finals. But whoever does eventually knock them out, I guarantee it's going to be a 7-game war.
Right.
And when that 7th game is over, that team that probably knocks them out, moves on, will be like, whoa, we got all we could handle for these guys.
You know what's interesting about that?
That is a tough-minded, well-coached basketball team.
I'm going to say something that's disparaging to Soccer Guy. And, you know, if you have thin skin, like most of you soccer fans, then just turn the channel. And come back in like 30 seconds. But I always thought I should be the World Cup coach.
The World Cup soccer coach?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Because we're not going to win a game, but neither is anybody that we play. We won't win the World Cup, but nobody we play will win the World Cup. So we're going to eliminate some people, because it's not going to be magic water ain't going to save your ass. Right? Magic spray ain't going to help. Like, you're going to get really injured. We're just going to play that style. So I thought I should be a World Cup coach.
Well, it's funny you say that because the
Avalanche. That's the Nuggets, though. That's what I'm saying about the Nuggets.
And that's complimentary. And yeah. You know another team that's like that is the St. Louis Blues. Follow where I'm going here. The Avalanche host the Kings tonight. The Avalanche control their fate. They win their next two games against the Kings. They win the division. They have the best record in hockey. They have home ice throughout. It will mean in the first round they'll get St. Louis instead of Minnesota. Now, I have no doubt, zero concerns that the Avalanche beat St. Louis. That's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But St. Louis does play a style.
Right.
They have enough pride. They're only a couple years removed from winning a Stanley Cup. That could they exact a bit of a toll on the Avs? To the point where the Avs win the series.
Right, but it's with there's a
you know,
collateral damage.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. That stuff is real.
I mean,
man.
Minnesota is 16 points ahead of St. Louis. They're only a couple of points behind the Avs, but I think I'd rather play Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs instead of St. Louis.
Right.
Not because I'm afraid of losing to St. Louis, but just, you know, could a Blues series, especially if you don't knock them out in 4 or 5, could it get to the point where you start getting into an extended series with them?
Right.
Does it take its toll?
Plus, is there any place on planet Earth where people are nicer than they are in Minnesota?
Minnesota. It is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.